Hey, Go Church family. I'm Elia, and I'm here with Pastor Matt.
Hi, everyone.
And our special guest, Hi. Antoine.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Welcome.
Welcome, Antoine, to the podcast.
It is a it's an honor to have one of our Grow Group leaders join us on the podcast.
And with a new series and theme, and it's exciting. It's an exciting theme. It's a powerful theme for this month.
And new series. New guest.
Yeah.
And
just everything new.
Yeah. He makes everything new.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like that.
So this month's series title is The Kingdom of God. So we're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God through this month in the podcast, in our Grow Groups, in the Big Sunday as well.
And this series is on purpose connecting to what we've been talking about, which was who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us.
Yes.
And taking that into a practical way that we can apply it in our life brings us to the discussion of the Kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And actually, this is our motto, as in Go Church, love, grow, go. So we are experiencing the unconditional love of God and growing in His love
and
going to outreach. So this is what we are targeting about the kingdom. The kingdom will be is within us and spreading out with the help of the Holy Spirit around
us. Yeah, so as well that bring us to the purpose of this month's series, which is that we want the entire Go Church family to know that in Christ, which is our last month's series, we have been established into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That is not, this is not only where we are going after we die, but where we live from when we are born again.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of God is in us and must always be operating through us into the world. When we learn how to live from the kingdom of God while we are on earth, we are helping others come into contact with the presence of God and the environment of heaven.
Yeah, the environment of heaven.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like that. There's so many key phrases in there, but that one right there stands out. And that phrase connects to our key scripture that you know our series is really built on, which is in Romans. Romans 14, verse 17, Paul says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking." And does that mean there's no food allowed? No.
Actually, we love food.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if it's going to be Lebanese food.
Especially Lebanese food, yeah.
No,
let's clarify that. But if we look in the surrounding chapter, we see that other religions create rules and rituals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Paul said, that's not the kingdom of God. It's not rules and rituals. Mm. What is it? What is the environment of heaven? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's really what we want to take this month and dig into.
Yeah.
And in our Grow Groups, find practical ways where we can look at our life. Where is ritual? Where is religion? Let's replace that with the fellowship that we have with our loving Father in the kingdom of God.
Yeah, and actually that like brought us in the purpose. It says the kingdom of God is not only where we are going after we die. And the point of fellowship, there's a song for Brother Keith Moore. The title of it is Fellowship.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of this song, he said, the joy of being saved is not just going to heaven after we die, but it is fellowship with the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. So I can fellowship with him. So that means I have the same vision that he had. I walk with him. We're going into the same direction. And even here, like it says, the kingdom of God, so it lives in me.
Yeah.
So it says the kingdom of God is in us.
Yeah.
So I carry the kingdom of God. I carry the environment of heaven with me wherever I go.
So practically, what does that mean? You know, like sometimes you think the kingdom of God, is that like a building? You know, I have a building walking around inside of me. We could just simply say the kingdom of God is the place where God rules or exercises dominion.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
and if that's going to happen anywhere, it needs to happen in me.
That's right.
True.
And Jesus, of course, provides a really great example for us. And let's look at a familiar passage of Scripture in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. This is Jesus talking to the rabbi teacher, Nicodemus. And in verse 13, he says, "No one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man." Jesus, all through the Gospels, we see him preaching the kingdom, preaching the kingdom of God. He talked about the kingdom of God so many times that the disciples came to him and said, "Lord, is it now that you're going to establish the kingdom?" And they were looking outside, but he was talking inside, and he was talking beyond what is seen.
Yeah.
He lived from the kingdom.
Yeah.
He lived from the kingdom of God.
That's right. Yeah.
This is chapter 3. Turn over and see chapter 4. Jesus on the way through Samaria comes to the well at Sychar. He talks to the woman at the well. The disciples come to him and say, "Hey, are you still hungry?" Because he had been hungry. He said, "No, I have food that you know not of." Why? Because he was living out of a kingdom that couldn't be seen.
That's true.
I made a small research about kingdom of God. The word kingdom actually appears, a kingdom of heaven, appears 86 times in the teachings of Jesus in the Gospels. And the word kingdom by itself appears around maybe 250 times in the Bible and 162 in the New Testament.
Yeah.
So it's mentioned good. Huh?
If you consider that... You know, if Jesus is talking about it, if the Bible is talking about it,
that means it's important.
And we should be talking about
it. If the disciples asked about it to know when is it, where is it, we should be talking.
Stood out to me the purpose actually also about the matter of being reborn, born again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it all starts from here actually.
Yes.
You declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's our only Savior. He's the only one leading us to heaven.
Yeah.
And he's the only way to salvation. And this is how the journey actually starts. It's only the beginning. It's the beginning of a joyful life.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And you know, let's see what the Bible says about that. Look at Colossians, Colossians the first chapter. Because you mentioned that's where it starts. Colossians, the first chapter in the 13th verse, it says, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness."
Yeah.
So that word domain, what is that? That relates exactly to what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. The kingdom of God is the place where God rules as king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's his domain. "He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son."
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did that happen? That happened
when I accepted Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes.
When I said yes to Jesus, when you said yes to Jesus,
it's a life changer.
Sometimes we will describe it that, this person gave their life to Jesus.
Yeah.
But what is correct is actually that old dead life.
Yeah.
Is gone because Jesus rescued me from the domain of darkness. And then we have been transferred.
Yeah.
Transferred, that's not a big enough word in English to sum up what it says there. Because it's the same idea.
Completely change, you mean?
It's the same idea as what happened in Acts chapter 8. It says that Philip was talking to this man about Jesus, and then he was instantly caught away and found in another place.
Yeah.
That's what this says.
Yeah.
So transferred, meaning there's nothing left of the old, and I'm in a place that is completely new.
Yeah.
What is that place?
the kingdom of God.
Of God.
And the point is that there is no passing of time. So I don't wait to arrive into the kingdom of God. It happens instantly. Yeah.
And that's so important. And this is coming back to the purpose. The verb there in the first one of those phrases is that we want the Go Church family to be established in this truth. Why? Go back to Romans 14. Religion has a tendency to institute these rules, rituals, in order for me and you to earn a place.
Yeah.
But Jesus paid the price for us to be transferred into his kingdom.
For the freedom, actually.
For the freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Mm, Paul wrote that in Galatians. And he paid that price so that I don't earn it, I receive it.
Yeah.
He facilitated all the way.
Yeah.
I like to always start with the Old Testament, because the Old Testament is all a preparation to the coming of Jesus.
That's right. Yeah.
So, like in the book of Daniel, if I will share it, Daniel 2:44. Mm-hmm. So, regarding the kingdom. Okay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. And we can go relate this to maybe Matthew 6:10 after it, in the New Testament. So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
And also I can relate, go backwards also to Psalm 72 in full. So actually, it's all being related. This is one book.
Yeah.
Yes.
It started in the Old Testament, but everything, this is the living truth. We cannot neglect. So it's all, like I said before, the preparation of the coming of Jesus and the fulfillment of overcoming the law
side,
which we abide by the law, actually, at first. But Jesus came to save us from all this impossible, maybe, things to fulfill the law at its fullness. Yeah?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, and you know, the point is that some people sometimes ask, like, whenever you're talking to them, and you say, like, the forgiveness of sin. It's like, if we continue reading Colossians 1, it says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So people say, like, but how is it that easy?
Mm.
Like, just be transferred from a kingdom to another kingdom, like, just by one word. It's not because I have made it easy. It's because Jesus has made it easy.
Yeah, and it's because of the precious blood of Jesus.
Yes.
You know, I love that you brought up the Old Testament scriptures that we see looking forward to this kingdom. And
the vision of the kingdom, actually, what has been being like seen in the Old Testament.
So, you read those prophetic words about the kingdom, but the one that I love, it centers the promise of the kingdom of God and our access in relation to it in Jesus, in Isaiah 9, which is how we started the year.
Yeah.
Isaiah 9. Verse 6, it says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And, you know, we keep reading, it says, on the throne of David over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on forevermore. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. This is his mission.
Yeah.
It's his purpose. It's his message. It's his kingdom. And we are citizens of it because of his precious blood.
If I was back then, I would have been so excited to wait around to that. Now I am joyful because I am within it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen to that.
Amen. This question comes up a lot because every place religion has had a chance to I don't know, what would be the word? Fester. To infect the way people think. Because you find that Jesus was not religious at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not at all. On the Sabbath, the most holy day.
Yeah, we see all the clashes with the Pharisees.
He would walk in and say, well, this woman, she's a daughter of Abraham. She should be made whole. And they're all angry that he's healing someone on the Sabbath. Which day do they heal people? but when religion has had time to kind of work in a culture and a society, we get this idea of like, well, the gospel sounds too easy. You have to earn it. You have to deserve it.
Yeah.
For us, we need to come to a revelation that the blood of Jesus, the price that he paid.
Yeah.
Specifically, the Bible talks about his blood, the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, 7, and 8, talks about the precious blood of Jesus that Jesus himself offered for my behalf.
Yeah. Carrying all our sins.
There's nothing that I can add to that.
Yeah, 100%. And like, if I will try to add, or if it is by me adding that, that means that Jesus died for nothing.
In vain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He died for nothing. Like, why would he die if I need to add to what he has done? So he died for nothing.
So that brings us, or kind of points us back to a why. Like, so why are we translated into the kingdom of his dear son? Why not just be immediately translated into the kingdom of heaven, the out of this world into the next? And the answer is our purpose.
Yeah.
We want to experience this amazing love.
Yeah.
Let that grow and get established on the inside of us. Not that I grow to earn it, but I grow to believe it and act like it's true.
The banner of the grow is in front of me. Like, I love what this church, as God Church, is being built on. It's all about spreading the good news and growing with his love. So actually, we always say that I found my place here because this is I am progressing and growing with Jesus and spreading out the good news. And now you said earlier that I'm leading a group. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I was. This doesn't happen like out of directly. So it took not that much of time. But first, I declared Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yeah.
And I honestly wasn't knowledgeable about anything in the Bible first. Like if we go back maybe 3-4 years ago. And then I started asking question, is it written in the Bible? So yes, it is. So it's true. So whenever I encounter some scripture verse, what the Bible says, it's true. I act upon it. That's why I never forget what Pastor Matt Beamer said, that the Lord said it.
I believe it.
That settles it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's just it made it simple. Yeah.
Yes.
Simplified.
And this is the way I always like go and ask Pastor Matt questions, and I know his answer, but I still ask him questions. So every time I ask him any question, I say, "What does the Bible say?"
Yeah.
So in place of looking, I just go and ask him again.
But the idea is, if we will just do that simple step that you did. Where you say, I'm going to set the Bible in front of me, and I'm going to keep it between me and everything that happens to me. And whatever the Bible says is more true than what I see around me.
That's right.
Actually, the Lord knows about me more than I know about myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I returned his call and said yes to him. and then this flow of things like happened. Because I am in line with his God's will.
Amen.
So that's why he knows better than I know. So I being led by him, and here I am from moving from one chapter to another and growing in his love. And it's amazing. The experience. People before, you don't know what you are missing.
Yeah. This is fellowship with the good company, with the good people,
That's right.
with the good, like you taking the good decision, the decision that will lead you in the best
and
place.
And you cannot do it on your own, even.
No, right. it's important to be part of a good church.
Yeah, yeah. A part of a family, actually. It becomes your family. Now it became my first family, actually. I say it very sincerely. This is where I step. I encounter the love of Christ within us, because we are all exactly forming one body of Christ. Yeah. Because each part is very important, each part of this body. One part fails, we are all failing.
You know, like the first part of representing the kingdom of God is representing the love that Jesus had for the world.
Yeah.
Like when I first attended a meeting for Go Church, which was an alpha, like the reason why sometimes I made joke and I said, like, I came because there was good food.
It was.
But actually, it was good food. But the biggest part that I felt love, I felt like, no matter if I'm speaking, not speaking, even if my opinion was totally different, I felt loved all the time. Mm-hmm. And this is something that can grab the attention. Yes. Even if some people might not talk about it, but love grabbed the attention.
You feel it without saying any word.
And you know, as like, for example, always Pastor Matt said, because the people that were there, they let me feel that they were like, they wanted to be there. They were not doing what they were doing in obligation. They wanted, they had the love to see the lost saved. Like their heart is aligned with the heart of Jesus.
Praise
they want
God.
People to see people saved. And the point I just like wanted to point on what Pastor Matt said, like when you talked about the values and you said the grow, and some people think that they need to grow to earn salvation. Actually, we need to grow to take salvation into the world. So I earned salvation when I accepted Jesus. The reason why I need to grow is to take the salvation that Jesus had bought and give it to people, to earn it for myself.
Amen. Yeah. The I just to connect this again with our previous series, I want to back up to Ephesians. We were in Colossians there. I want to back up to Ephesians chapter 3. This to me is so amazing, and Antoine, it relates back to what you were talking about. The Bible is a single story. It's a single focus. And Ephesians chapter 3, I want to read verse 10, but that means I have to start in verse 7, because I probably shouldn't start in verse 1. Paul says, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power, to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given. Mm-hmm. Just pause right there. Think about what we're talking about there. You know, there's this idea of like this person, they're really a better, they're kind of better at life than me, and I've made more mistakes. Well, you know, Paul started his journey with Jesus in the midst of terrorizing Christians. So, I mean, if you think about it, like from a natural point of view, Paul started on the wrong foot, so to speak. And he says of himself, he says, I'm the very least of all the saints. He's also the most used man in his generation.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, the direct ministry of Paul, a lot of the output of the ministry of Paul was writing these letters that became the New Testament.
Yeah.
So this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. That's really what we talked about all last month in Christ.
Yeah.
We just really just touched the subject of the unfathomable riches of Christ. That word unfathomable means you cannot know how deep it goes.
Yeah.
Paul is the concrete example of the person before and after.
Yes. So,
yeah, the transformation.
Like he was like, I don't know, the thing, like the image of Saul first and hitting on Christians and following. And then Paul as a saint.
Yes.
This is a complete transformation.
Complete transformation. When Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 5:17, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. But I got to believe that as he's writing it, he sees him.
Yeah.
Like he sees Saul.
Yeah, and like it just came to my mind, the transformation, like he knows what is inside of him, but like for people who were around him, like, are you okay? Like, you're killing them yesterday. They are preaching with them. Like, you're supporting them. You're loving them. You're like writing their letters. Like, are you okay? Is everything okay with you?
So the unfathomable riches of Christ became Paul's message.
Yeah.
What I want to kind of to connect these two series together, look at verse 9 and 10. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages had been hidden in God who created all things. Those passages that you read from Daniel and Psalm, the Isaiah prophecy, we see that clearly as truth because we have the New Testament. Yes. But these were truths that were, in one sense, hidden and now have been revealed in Christ.
Yeah.
What is that truth? The kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And verse 10, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose, which he carried out in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
This is an everlasting kingdom.
Yes.
Yeah.
The kingdom, the reason why we are to live out here in the kingdom, to live lives. We're not just immediately transferred to heaven when we say yes to Jesus, is so that we can be part of this plan to make manifest.
Yeah.
His wisdom, the kingdom of God, his way of doing things. His one minister said it this way, his way of doing and being right. And the Lord chose us to be the ones to demonstrate his kingdom, his rule.
So actually, when I accept Jesus, the kingdom of heaven becomes in me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was transferred to me, and then I will be transferred into the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
So the kingdom of heaven is in me now before I go into it. So.
And you'll spread it out also.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that brings me to Romans 5:17. We, you know, there's so many verses that we could look at, but if you're going to talk about the kingdom of God, you got to talk about Romans 5:17. Yeah.
For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What do kings do? They reign.
Yeah.
What should we be doing in this life?
Reigning.
Jesus, as I said, that Jesus gave us an example.
Yeah.
And it's in John 14. Just turn over and look at that. John 14. I love this statement and kind of the perspective in what Jesus says here in verse 30. He said, I'll not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. You know, this is right at the time when Jesus is going to be betrayed and mock trial, beaten, crucified. And in that, everything that's going to happen, he's like, The one who is controlling this world system, he has nothing in me. Mm. He did that so that I can say that.
Yeah.
Actually, going backwards, when they started the sin, like death started with one man, and then Jesus came, and with blood shedding on the cross, he took us to the kingdom.
Yes.
So this transfer, actually, before it was like to live in deception. And the devil comes always as a failure, like John 10:10. And he wants to let us think that we are still in deception, actually not. So this is his job, actually, to whisper that for all people who don't know Jesus yet, not know this grace and this joy and this eternal life actually through Jesus Christ actually are living in crisis, like we're also comparing this to the previous theme of the month. So this we are not in deception anymore, but because of, but thanks to Jesus. That's so right. That's why I related this to the Adam.
And so the thing that we want to make sure that we share very clearly is that it's not enough to know about Jesus. It's not enough to just have a, you know, a picture of Jesus.
Yeah.
Actually, there is another kingdom, the kingdom of deception.
Right.
It's there.
Yeah. We need to say yes to him.
Yeah.
Jesus said, "Marvel not. Don't be surprised that I said you must be born again." Yeah. Why? Because there's so much wrong with natural man. There's nothing to do to fix it. You just have to make him new.
It's on, not only by the good things humans do. You can be very kind, doing many good things, helping the poor. What are the teachings here?
Yeah.
To be next to each other. But where what is the missing point? Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Yeah. Declare that he is the only Savior.
Yeah.
And you will be granted this kingdom.
And it is that easy.
Yeah. And you know, like maybe God was able to let people be saved by their own works, but because he is full of mercy. And if in Ephesians it says, "For you are saved by grace."
By grace. Mm-hmm.
So it's a gift from God that we do not deserve it. Like if I'm going to say like just for normal person, I do not deserve it. But because he is full of mercy,
loving
I am
Father.
Saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, not by good works. I'm saved for good works. I'm saved for to do the good works that Jesus was doing, which, for example, in Acts, we see that it says, for example, one of them says, Jesus went and doing good and healing all the sick. So I'm called and supposed to do good works, which one of them is healing the sick, for example.
Yeah, these are the attributes of what we could call kingdom living.
Yeah.
And so what should we be doing about the kingdom of God? Living like we have a kingdom.
Yeah.
And our responsibility is to reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do.
This is our identity.
It is our identity.
We take authority over this. And
that's right.
That's it.
That's right.
And so, obviously, you know, we're going to continue digging into this study, but we're going to look at these, what Romans 14 says, you know, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we're going to do that in our grow groups specifically. Find what the scripture says, discuss it. You know, our grow groups are not Bible studies. They're times where we can interact and discuss the Word of God with one another and find practical ways to bring these truths to life.
Can I invite more people to my group?
Yes. If you don't have a grow group, you should be part of Antoine's group.
On Wednesday, at Hub 1, starting 7.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you made it this far in your day and no one else has told you, we want you to know that we love you.
We are praying for you.
God bless you.
Amen.